Welcome everyone to the next edition of 365.live, and today I have with me Mark Armstrong from Code Software. Hi Mark, how are you doing?
Hi, good afternoon Mark, and thanks very much for inviting me along to this session.
No problem. It's really good that you're here and you're able to show us all your good stuff that you do in the reporting space. So I guess you've got some information you want to share with us about who Code is, what you do, and all that type of stuff.
Absolutely. So I think that the way we'll structure today, Mark, I'll go through a presentation, which is a relatively high level overview of the portfolio of solutions that we do offer. And then I'll open up the software really just to give a look and feel of the software, the simplicity of use and that side of things.
Sure.
So Code, just to give you a bit of background on Code, we're a relatively new company formed in 2013. We're a spin-off company from a more traditional call accounting, kind of call reporting company. And we ventured out on our own and really with a focus around Skype for Business, certainly initially around the fundamental analytics and reporting that are required for Skype for Business. But you'll see as the presentation goes on that we've certainly branched out into other areas outside of the pure analytics side of things. So looking at Skype for Business, of course, can be deployed online, cloud PBX, on-premise, partner hosted, or certainly a hybrid deployment model from that. And we certainly support all of these offerings, including the hybrid offering, certainly from a reporting, but also a recording point of view. If we look at our actual solutions, our core solution really is UC Analytics. UC Analytics is a CDR-based reporting solution. It does have dashboards, maps, and alerts, again, which I'll go through as I go through the presentation. In addition to that, we do have UC Analytics Plus. UC Analytics Plus is an additional module to UC Analytics and was really designed and developed because of a big gap in the market for organizations that are using response groups and need some real-time visibility around the productivity, the call handling, that side of things for the response groups and really investment, I suppose, financially, but also from a deployment point of view in full-blown contact center software solutions would be overkill. So we very much position UC Analytics Plus as a cost-effective alternative to full-blown contact center software, as I said, supporting response groups. And then the third element to our portfolio is UC Recorder, which is a Skype for Business recording, voice recording solution, which again supports Skype for Business on-premise, cloud PBX and online. So with a single application, if you like, we cover off reporting, dashboards, we've got the wall boards, and also the recording, voice recording elements.
Sure. So it's quite a broad spectrum, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think certainly today we'll put a focus on UC Analytics, the core reporting monitoring solution. We'll touch on UC Analytics Plus and UC Recorder relatively quickly. But if we look at the challenges, and these are really the business challenges that are presented to organizations that have deployed Skype for Business. And really, the big challenges are really about the usage, the visibility of the usage. Mm-hmm. We've got their certainly user adoption, but also the user experience. And I would class user experience being the core quality area and even the employee productivity. So it's essential that the service that is being delivered via Skype for Business, that whole kind of user experience side, is at an acceptable level, and any anomalies or anything like that are being highlighted.
Yeah, that's sure. I mean, one of the challenges I find, right, it's not on this slide, but you probably see it a lot, is that customers really love the analytics side. Like, they love the idea of it, and when they realize that actually they need to employ a relatively small team to keep on top of it, they kind of like say, well, I like the idea, but I'll run without it for now and I'll call you for problems. So how do you guys get around that challenge?
So yeah, I mean, there's certainly elements to the solution that can highlight these issues and really whether it's quality based issues. We do have alerts associated with the software, so it makes it a proactive, if you like, approach to quality based issues. Typically, you're going to set up these alerts, which are threshold alerts. When a call is terminated and it's met that threshold, bang, you instantly get this email notification, and then you'll drill through with the various elements of the solution to the root cause analysis and utilize the software to troubleshoot, the quality issues that are arising.
So you effectively are monitoring and triggering based off, I guess, the thresholds, and then that obviously allows IT to sort of forget it until it becomes a, a small problem before it becomes a large problem.
Of course, yeah, sure. So yeah, I mean, certainly that user experience quality side is a key element to a successful deployment of Skype for Business. But I would say still the number one kind of reporting monitoring requirement with our customers is around user adoption, and it's blatantly obvious why that's the case. Skype for Business is I suppose, a change solution. It's a full blown collaboration solution which presents so many different benefits to the end users, but these benefits are only going to be realized if the users are adopting the technology. And the black and white view is that if they aren't adopting the technology, then you should have stuck with the phone on the desk and carried on business that way, which isn't the idea of thing here. So user
Yeah, so
adoption.
it's user adoption is obviously it's a massive thing, and it's one that takes probably, you're talking 60, 70% of your focus is pretty much on user adoption, because the deployment of it nowadays is relatively straightforward. I mean, it's not so much next finish type install. Well, it pretty much is for online in to a certain degree. But it's all right, people sending out massive emails saying that, on May the 1st we're transitioning from, Cisco via to Skype, and your phone will be removed and you'll have a headset and replaced and get on with it. And it's just assumed at that point that
Of
people are
course.
using it, and they it's assumed that they're enjoying their experience, and it's assumed that they've watched training videos on the intranet, for instance, and what have you. But I guess your product helps us actually figure out whether users are adopting it in the right way or not.
Of course, and it certainly drives that user adoption. So you'll highlight areas for further training, education, whatever it may be, or just lack of use of the technology. So it's certainly a key area in there. And then the final area is the cost and billing. So certainly as more organizations are certainly going full enterprise voice with the associated SIP trunks, there are the associated call costs. So we can also upload an unlimited number of carrier tariff tables to the solution, so we can accurately cost the calls, and typically that's going to be distributed internally for management and control. Different cost centers, may take
See,
ownership.
you can do the whole chargeback type
Yeah,
stuff.
exactly that side of things. So at an incredibly high level, they're effectively the challenges that UC Analytics really addresses. So if we look at UC Analytics itself, it's an incredibly user-driven solution. So it's very much, certainly what we found is that every organization and certainly every employee within an organization is going to have very different requirements. So it is flexible, it's user-driven, it's very much users defined to the software their requirements, as opposed to the software defining the requirements to the user, if that makes sense. So with regards to the actual delivery or deployment of the solution, we can deliver either on premise. We do have a cloud offering based out of Azure, so we've certainly got that. And we've also got a partner hosted model, so it supports full multi tenancy for the hosted partners as well.
Okay.
So yeah, effectively the software has, I suppose, two key areas. It's got the dashboard front end that gives you this snapshot view of usage, and then it's got the underlying reports as well. So go back to what I was saying, it's very easy findable. So this dashboard front end, a user will drag and drop, resize, they can apply filters, they can select out different dashboards to be displayed. Of course, they'll save that layout, and typically they're going to have a handful of different layouts for their different requirements throughout the day. Because it's CDR based UC analytics, it is by definition not real time. We do get this CDR records approximately every 60 seconds. So this dashboard is going to give you a snapshot view of usage, although it won't cover off the live calls information.
Yeah, sure. So, so your CDR information QoE that you're pulling there, is that your own database, or do you leverage the Skype for Business called QoE database and CDR database for that?
Yeah, so we effectively take the CDRs from the monitor server and the QRE database as well, bring it into our SQL database. I mean, the software is effectively entirely designed and developed around Microsoft technology, so it has got the SQL database in the background, which
Yeah.
of course is our core database.
So you take effectively what Microsoft does, collects, and then basically, inject steroids into it, and that then becomes codes, UC Analytics.
That's it, effectively, yeah. And of course you can apply filters and manipulate the data accordingly with a very simple to use interface as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on from the dashboards and reports, effectively are the heart of the software. It's a bold of course intents and purposes is a reporting tool. So yes, the software does come with predefined or canned reports, which cover off, I would say, the majority of organizations' reporting requirements. So, user adoption conferencing, we've got the capacity planning, so we can look at the SIP trunk utilization, which again is an area quite often overlooked, the capacity side of things. I would say that really the key strength of the software though is the report designer and the report builder. So the report designer allows users to define the format of the report. They simply drag and drop the fields that they want displayed in the reports, and then they use a report builder to apply filters. And what this means is, of course, very quickly you can build up a library of templates of your, I suppose, bespoke reports, but reports that are delivering exactly the information that you require because you've defined them very, very quickly and easily. So once the reports are there and being defined, you can schedule them to run automatically with whatever frequency is required. Of course, you can go in and run them on an ad hoc basis. And as I mentioned just then, you can save them as templates, and typically an organization will build over a period of time, I suppose, a library of templates, relevant templates for their specific reporting requirements. So they're the two key areas, the dashboard front end, the underlying reports. There are system monitors effectively giving an incredibly high level overview of this solution. These shows both the modality, so the different collaboration types for a specified date range, and also there's a quality system monitor as well, again giving that high level overview of the daily quality of the calls. What we've also got, although the data on this screenshot's not amazing, is we can also look at the consumption of the technology. So you can see how many users are actually active on the system and how many inactive users you've got on the system. So as I said, it's a good way of presenting the consumption of Skype for Business. And again, I suppose going back to user adoption, are people actually using the technology? So we've got the system monitors incredibly high level. The call detail monitor is actually where we can drill down and get a lot of detail, call quality detail on a specific call. And I'll show you in the demonstration how easy it is to kind of locate a specific call We've got caller, callee information on this. We can see an overview of the call, say service type, date, time, duration, that kind of thing. We've got some network details around information like the MOS, the jitter, the packet loss. When we're looking at the devices, we can see the connectivity type. So if it's a wired or wireless Ethernet connection, a VPN connection, we can see device types as well. So maybe it's a Plantronics headset, whatever it may be. It might be an unapproved device. But again, this call detail monitor is going to show you all of the details that are potentially going to be required to troubleshoot poor quality calls. Or drill through to some kind of root cause analysis around the call quality issues that are arising.
Yeah, does your software give you any sort of pointers as to what the problem may not the problem may be? Yeah, because you already call that out in this, but what the possible resolution may be. So I've seen other competitors in this sort of space where they are monitoring, specifically network, and the they say that actually, between this switch and that switch, there was an issue. It's probably going to be this, this, or this. And it sort of helps you to it, because a lot of this information, although it's very relevant and it takes probably a subject matter expert to understand what, a MOS score is and what to do with a number that's like two, where do you start troubleshooting, etc. So for the non-educated, or the, that's the wrong word, for the people who are just sort of, coming into Skype for Business in the UC world and they're trying to administer it, what sort of assistance does your software give them?
It really just gives you this snapshot view, which is kind of detailed. I mean, what you were kind of alluding to there is more network management software. So we don't really get that deep and dirty on the network side of things.
I was just using that as an example, but the company I've got in mind have also got a competing product to this, so just point it out there.
It is effectively what we're seeing here, so there's no kind of guidance or that side of things. That said, it's certainly something that we could potentially consider, I suppose.
Okay, cool. All about making the products better in the UC.
And of course, it's all software development is a dynamic thing, and we're reliant on feedback from our customers, partners, and everything to ensure that the product is as cutting edge as we can possibly make it.
Yeah, sure.
So what we've got, what we can see on this particular slide is a user map. The user map, I suppose, is a fusion of user adoption and quality as well. So we can select out an individual user and see some stats around their usage of the technology. So you'd select out date range for that employee. You can see volumes and details around calls, whether they're voice, video. You can even see IM and app app sharing details. We've got that chart in the top right hand corner, again giving a snapshot view of usage of the technology. Yeah. Conferences, of course, conferences are a massive area for Skype for Business, and what we can certainly do is look for this individual user, how many conferences they've organized and how many they've attended, and there is click through kind of drill down from this initial screen where you can select an individual conference and actually go down and get more details on the attendees, that side of things. Again, I think I'll show you that in the demonstration, how you can generate more detailed information on the conferences.
Cool.
The next area is the RG or response group map. So again, response groups are certainly out there. There's a lot of organizations using that, and that they need some visibility about agent productivity, employee performance, call handling time, that side of things. So the RG map really is a summary of response group performance. Again, you select date range. You can see an overview for that date range of the response group performance. So things like how many calls have taken, how many have been answered, percentage, that side of things. You can see that information presented in the graph underneath for each of the different days. And also each of the the individual calls are highlighted for the response group in that table at the top there. So what you can do, again, click through on an individual call. So I've selected one of the calls from that top level response group map. It's drilled down now. It can see for that call which agents in the response group the call was presented to, who actually answered it, and some summary details about the call, the queue time, talk duration, that side of thing. So again, it's a quick and easy way of getting visibility around the response group performance. So in addition to those features I've covered off, the dashboard, the reports, those maps and monitors, some of the other features we've touched on, alarms already. So these are the threshold alerts that we were discussing earlier, Mark. AD integration, the software supports full AD integration. So any moves and changes that are being made on AD, you'll schedule that to automatically update the database held within UC Analytics. Benefits, of course, you've got a single database, and it maintains the integrity of the data that's being reported on in UC Analytics.
Yeah, so going back to the alarms for a second and thresholds,
Yeah.
out of the box, does it come with your recommended sort of levels of recommended thresholds, or is
No,
it?
I mean, it's all user defined. So, but I mean, it's very simple. The alarms effectively have a wizard that walk you through, who the alarm's going to be generated to, what the thresholds are, and then you specify, if it's a mean opinion score, you simply put in the desired mean opinion score, and it will generate the report. Sorry, the alarm based on that threshold. So it's a very simple process to set up these alarms. And finally, the security policies again play a really quite a crucial role in the successful deployment and use of UC Analytics. So you can set up an unlimited number of user profiles and associate the security policies to this. So literally all of the features functionality that I've covered off already in the presentation, you can turn on or off according to a profile. But I suppose more importantly, you can do this at organization level. So I don't know, a location or a departmental head, when they log on, they're restricted to only have visibility of information pertaining to their particular department. So as I said, the security policies really are key to the successful delivery. And what that also means is very often the reporting UC Analytics is taken out of the IT department or the technical side of an organization. It's simplified in its usage. You'd restrict a user maybe to the dashboard, a couple of templates, and it's
Yeah, so you could give access to your finance department for instance, to say, hey, just log into this portal, download your cost reports for the calls for your chargebacks monthly, off you go, or even schedule them, I guess.
Absolutely that. Yeah, so it makes it a user-friendly solution that, as I said, can be taken out. At the same time, it is a bit of a double-edged sword because we need a reporting solution that you can get very granular with. So there is that element, but that's restricted to the technical guys. And then, of course, the business users of the solution, they don't
Yeah,
have the
that's
time or the
it.
inclination, do they, to
You
see
know, and
that?
th there's a real appetite right now in the marketplace where IT teams are saying, well, how much can I divest to non-technical staff? You know, how much of this control, how much of these moves are changes process can I actually give to, department managers or to, first line support, for instance? And it's good to see that so many companies, like Coda, sort of starting to, to realize that and adopt it into their model.
Absolutely. So that's the core solution, UC Analytics. I'm probably going to skip over the next slides relatively quickly, but just to give you a flavor of the additional areas that we do cover off. So I mentioned earlier, UC Analytics Plus, it's stepping away from CDR reporting. It's looking at live calls, which are presented on these wall boards that we have And the support is, of course, for response groups, it is a cost-effective alternative to full-blown contact center software. But as you can see in this particular Warboard example, it's got a combination of live information, so availability, you've got the agents logged on to that response group, the available agents, historically the answer calls, the drop calls, back to live information, active calls, calls in queue, and average queue time. So, you
Is
know,
this a server delivered solution so that it's just accessed via a web address, or does it require any?
Exactly, and in fact, each of these warboards are actually generated in their own web page. So it's down very much down to the end user to define how they're going to lay out the warboards on their own screen. I mean, this particular example here, because it's large tiles, typically that's going to go up on a wall-mounted monitor, and all the agents, of course, have visibility of performance for the response group.
Yeah, do you allow branding of these pages as well?
Yeah, we can certainly brand the solution start to finish. It's very easy to brand the reports. You can change the color scheme, you can add logos. We can even brand the entire solution if that's a requirement.
Right, okay. So, but the UC Analytics Plus, it's not changing any of the functionality of response groups, right? It's that
Yeah.
stays in place. It's purely
That's right.
visibility of what's happening in the
Exactly
response group.
that. Yeah. It's just giving that visibility. It's giving the information for the, you know, whether it's the response group managers or whatever, to make informed decisions on, you know, the allocation, I suppose, of the employee resource.
And is this you say live, is it how real time is it?
Oh,
Is that
I think the delay is about 1 second, but
okay?
it's effectively giving live information.
Yeah, so you're basically hooking into the RGS database then.
Yeah, that front end, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Just another example of one of the more technical, I suppose, warboards there. But then we've also got the associated reports. What we're seeing here are examples of reports. Going back to what I was saying earlier, the flexibility of the reporting side of the software means the reporting options are literally endless. So these are just some examples. You can see on the left that you've got the kind of availability for an agent, when they logged in, when they logged out, how long they're available on a call for, and I suppose more importantly in the table
Apps
underneath.
away.
Yeah, you can see it, you know, it's kind of possibly a name and shame thing. You can see when you know, he's hiding behind busy or do not disturb and that kind of
Naughty
thing.
Caesar. Naughty Caesar.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be in trouble.
Yeah, so no, that's a good thing, because obviously the step from response groups to full-blown contact center is huge. It's a huge
Yes.
jump, and there's nothing in between it. And at least this gives it unlocks some of the potential in RGS that
Yes,
previously
exactly.
wasn't around, like.
Exactly that. And so, actually, on the UC Analytics Plus, what we've also got is this live calls monitor. So this is giving some of the quality-based reports or details for live calls. And I think typically the use of this would be if a quality issue has been identified and you want to look at some live calls. So I suppose you'd run some dummy calls. You'd open up this live monitor and you could see, I don't know, peaks, troughs, whatever it may be, but that live quality information as that call is in progress. Okay, cool. So, I mean, that's a real-time call quality. And the final element being UC recorded, which is our voice recording solution. It's something we've developed ourselves, so you know, by definition, it's not going to start off as a fully featured voice recording solution. It's incredibly simple, cost effective, easy to use. It's got this shared interface as well with UC Analytics, so it's that single interface. It's got a shared database with UC Analytics. So again, you know, you've got the benefits of just that single, I suppose, application, for want of a better word,
Is
that's
this a
on the
client-side application, or is this server-based?
Currently, it's client side. We are in the final kind of beta testing of the server side, and which is due for release at the end of this month. So we're going to have both sides. It's also now fully compliant as well. So we've got the full encryption. We've got pause and resume. So in addition to those requirements that you can see there, the training, monitoring, dispute resolution, it's also compliant. So of course, meeting the legislation that's required for a compliant voice recording solution.
In terms of the centralized storage part of that, are you able to give sort of security policies against that, so only certain people are able to listen to certain recordings rather than all recordings, for
Yeah,
example?
absolutely. So it kind of goes back to the shared database. So those security policies that I went through on the on UC Analytics can be applied, or that they can be separate for UC Recorder. But typically, yeah. So departmental head, when they log on, they can only see calls pertaining to their own department. At the moment, it is blanket recording as well. So it's going to record all of the relevant clients that the software's been applied to. We are going to do selective recording on the next release. So
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you do like pauses to, like, if you're taking a credit card number, for instance, can pause a recording?
yeah, we can currently, that's functionality that is currently available, the pause and resume for the financial transaction side of things, which is a requirement for the compliance.
So in terms of the back end, and I know you're about to show us this in the slide, but one of the questions that are coming out of my head right now is that some call recording software give like alert managers saying that this call was, perhaps not the best, and they use sort of, I don't know whether it's some kind of algorithms to sort of listen into the conversation and make that judgment. Does you planning on introducing that? Does yours have that right now, or is it just literally record it and then playback is a manual thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly on the roadmap. So there's various areas, and we are putting a lot of development resource to the voice recording solution currently. So we're going to have the ability to annotate the calls. Managers will be able to, it's called silent intrude, where they can listen in to a call, and then they can effectively grade it afterwards. So there's probably going to be a star rating associated with each of the individual calls, along with any notes. And what we will do in the search mechanism as well, you'll be able to search on keywords in the notes. I mean, currently the search mechanism is based around a date time range. We can look at different participants. We could look at dial digits, CLIs if they're presented. We can look at SIP addresses. So there is currently quite a comprehensive search mechanism in there. We can look at specific response groups as well with the voice recorder. When it comes to playing back the calls, you can either use the interface here and play it back directly from here. If it's recorded in stereo, you can block off the left and right channel, which is useful for certainly for training purposes, where you can just block out one participant on the call. You can also download the call, save them locally as a MP3 file for playing I suppose outside of the actual recorder.
Shall we drop into a demo now and see the software in action?
So here's a demonstration of the actual solution. I'll focus just on UC Analytics, really, because I've got dummy data. I can't show the live calls going through that are associated with the wallboards for UC Analytics Plus. But just really to show you this interface, the voice recorder, as I mentioned, can actually be accessed directly from this single interface there. So what you're presented with initially is the system monitors, which I mentioned in the presentation, giving a very high-level overview of the kind of collaboration volumes. If you mouse over each of the individual days, you can see the actual service type, the count for each of them. You've got the users, again, because of the dummy data, it's not really a fair representation, but that would typically be used for the looking at the consumption of the technology. We've got this very high level quality monitor, again giving just a very high level overview of the call quality for the selected date range. We've reflected the Microsoft methodology around allocating each of the calls as being either good or poor quality calls. If we then look at the dashboard, as I mentioned, you know, it's definable to each different user. You can drag and drop, you can apply filters directly to it, you can select out the different dashboards. Once you've got it looking exactly the way you want it, you save that layout, and typically you can have a handful of different layouts for your different requirements. The dashboards are very dynamic. So an example here where we can see the call type summary, you can see the majority are voice calls. If we deselect voice, and you can see just a voice video app sharing and IM volumes. If we did want to apply a filter, maybe we want to just see specific organization units, departments with the call type summary, you can look at the individual gateways as well. So you can apply these filters directly to it. We've also got click-through reporting. So, for example, maybe we just want to see some information on outgoing calls. You can see there's a bit of a trough there. So we click on that area on the dashboard. It drills down and produces this full report on that specified time range. These ad hoc reports, you can then either send them via email, you can save them to DIS as either Excel, PDF or Word format. So that functionality is applicable to kind of all of these dashboards. As I said, you know, it's down to the users to define what they want to see, if it's going to be quality based, if it's going to be user adoption, maybe that then typically that they'll have defined that and saved those layouts.
Yeah, quick question.
Yeah, sure.
Why aren't you using Bing Maps?
Speak to our developers.
Okay.
yeah, good question. There you go. One thing you can certainly do, I mean, all of the dashboards are a combination of these kind of chart-based dashboards and also some kind of table-based dashboards. So here you can see the call details. These are all the calls going through, and this is actually one way of accessing the call detail monitor. So you can apply the filters to search out, I don't know, the CFO calls and said, look, I've had a bad quality call. So you can just select out his details. It will update the dashboard here accordingly, and then you can select out the specific call. You can see information for that call. You can see if it's a good quality, poor quality call. So maybe I just want to change the sorting to if you want to see maybe all the poor quality calls, sorry, then we can sort it accordingly. All the poor quality calls are highlighted in red. And clicking on this end icon there, we can then open up each of the individual calls and get this call detail monitor that you can see coming up now. So you've got information on the call, that specific call. You've got the overview details. You can see it's a poor quality call. Some of the network information there as well. We can look at the different device types. We can see more detailed quality information for this specific call. So this call detail monitor is a very quick and easy way of, you know, getting through to of course more technical details.
Yeah.
That are going to be utilized for troubleshooting individual calls that do have the quality issues. Typically you're then going to run the reports, which are going to give you that kind of detail that you're going to go off and take the appropriate action with there.
So, how would I generate an alert, for instance?
Okay, so the alerts are based out of here. And as I mentioned, these are, it's effectively a wizard, I suppose, where I create a new alert. We can specify date range or days of the weeks that you might want these to be active on. So maybe weekend calls, for example, if you're concerned about costs or suspect calls, I suppose.
Yeah.
you apply the conditions here. So it could be the dial number, the employees, specific employees as well that you want to apply the alert on. It could be inbound, outbound, different service types, and the thresholds are where you actually apply the criteria. So there are kind of business related ones or more business ones. So
Yeah, so you're calling
corporation.
09 0906 numbers for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
It's an HR issue, right?
I know we were talking earlier about the kind of mean opinion score based one. So if I wanted an alert on any call with a mean opinion score less than two, for example, that's how I'd create and then save that alert there.
Yeah, sure.
And it's literally as simple as that. You set up as many alerts, it's literally unlimited as required by the users.
And the diagnostics IDs, that's just basically the in the reports
Yes.
of the conversations, not server event IDs, for instance.
No, it's not. It's effectively the error ID on the call.
Awesome.
So a couple of, I mean, I could go through the dashboard, show all of the dashboards. Really, what I'm trying to show here is the concept of the dashboard, how easy it is to use it to drill down to get more information. A couple of the other areas that I will show you. So the user map that I showed on the presentation. This is where you select an individual user, you look at their kind of user adoption. So let me just and also it's an easy way to access the kind of quality or associated quality areas. So here you can see I've specified a date range for this individual. You can see all of his call details, the IM, the audio, the app sharing. If I did want to just quickly drill through on one of the calls, then I simply click on that and it will go to the call detail monitor that we saw earlier. So it's very easy to click through and see that side of things. We've got the conferences organized by this individual. Here you can see a list of all of the conferences, and you can select out, I'll just select out one of the conferences here. And what it does, it drills down and it opens up this map now, looking at all the attendees within on that particular conference. It's actually color-coded on the different service types they're using. You can see the date, time, duration. You can see the participants, if they were using the technology correctly. And again, we can click through and get the call detail monitor very
Fabulous.
quickly from that as well.
Cool. And the chargeback system, you mentioned call accounting before in your presentation. How does that look?
So what we do, we upload the carrier tariff tables into here so that they're all defined and managed from this area of the solution. You can change charge rules. As I mentioned, you can select out an unlimited number of carrier tariff tables. Once they're imported, you can make changes to them. You can go in and look at different destination codes, for example. You can apply discounts to them as well. So I've set up a discount here. So for the different call types, you can apply discounts, maybe not the best word. You can do a percentage markup as well. So if you wanted, I don't know if it's the case of managed offices, for example, where they want to charge their customers in addition to what they're getting charged, you can certainly use
Yeah, so your hidden service charge and such would be put on that call. I see you've done some work in Dubai with doing that as well.
or across the board.
I guess the killer question that's probably going to consume most of our remaining time is that with Microsoft pushing cloud first and cloud PBX and everything is online, what's the question type of approach, they've got they're in the process of testing or previewing their advanced analytics for cloud PBX and Skype Online. So how do you see code fitting into that future model where it's a cloud first world?
Well, certainly, I mean, at the moment, as I mentioned, we do have the support for the cloud offering, the Microsoft cloud offering. At the moment, you know, the area that we're strongest, I know this is short term, is around the kind of hybrid on-prem and cloud deployment. So we can certainly support any of those kind of different deployment models. We're certainly going to be looking at the APIs that are going to be released and certainly utilizing them. But there's other areas that we are looking at taking the product to in the future, and they're really around kind of productivity apps, I suppose, that are associated with Skype for Business. So they'll sit alongside the whole reporting solution and certainly offer productivity gains to organizations that are using, you know, whether it's Skype for Business Online or whatever it may be, that then we're looking at kind of certainly developing these kind of apps, as I said.
It's quite interesting to, I mean, kind of Microsoft to kind of kill the analytics space now. We're going cloud first and releasing their own version, I guess. Everybody's got to look for added value. But yeah, no, I don't think on-premises is dead by any short
No.
terms of the imagination. And,
It's a very naive view to think that.
certainly hybrid's going to pick up, right? Because there's going to be a lot of people who are dipping toes in waters and seeing whether the cloud's right for them, you know. But there's always going to be a place for on-premise, especially for the very large institutes.
Yeah.
Finance sector, for instance, they're not going to want to jump to public cloud
Not in
in
it.
the short term or even in the medium term, I
No.
doubt. So,
And we're certainly finding that as well. So, you know, that's, I would say, short to mid-term, that's going to be our kind of focus, I suppose. But, you know, it'd be very naive not to appreciate that we've certainly got to have that full support for the cloud side of things as well.
yeah, sure. So anybody who's got like Skype Link, thinking about hybrid situations now, or even cloud, I mean, what countries do you operate in, and how would people get in touch with you? Your partner model only, or can people come to you direct?
No, it's purely a partner model. So, and we do operate globally. I mean, currently we've got physical offices here in the UK, in Romania, in the Nordics, in Denmark, and also in South Africa. We're in the final throes of discussions in the US as well to open offices there. We do operate, as I said, three partners. So we've got local partners in all of these regions. Deployments in all five continent, well, five continents, and really, you know, our customer base, it's so varied. It ranges between organizations with 100 users up to, you know, 60, 70,000 users. So it's literally across the board, you know, cross vertical, all of those kind of good things. It's anyone who's deployed Skype for Business and wants to run it as efficiently as possible, I suppose,
Yeah, I
which
guess.
tends to be everyone.
Yeah, so I guess another question is, obviously there are other products on the market that sort of compete with you guys. And if you had to position yourself above the rest, what is your USP?
I think it's the flexibility from a product point of view. It's flexibility of the solution, the user-driven nature of the solution. So, you know, looking at the reports, for example, the fact that users define to the software that their reporting requirements, as opposed to the software doing it to them, that's really key to the product side of things. Our delivery model as well. So we support on-prem deployment. We've got the cloud offering and the partner offering as well. So, you know, I'd say probably currently our number one competitor in the market only has a cloud offering. So we certainly differentiate from them in that we have that flexibility. And on the commercial side as well, we've also got the perpetual or usage-based licensing model. So we kind of tick all the boxes with that as well.
I guess the other question as well, obviously one that we've probably discussed in other situations privately, but see a lot of information here, numbers, names, you know. So if I was had a if I was a company who had some regulations that's saying that people outside the region cannot access these inf this information, can you do some fancy stuff with your reports, like anonymizing data?
And certainly, you look geographically around the world, each different country typically has some different kind of data protection laws, whatever it may be. I mean, Germany, for example, certainly have quite stringent laws around that. So we have the ability to mask digits, for example, within the call details, and you can select out how many digits are masked. You can mask the SIP address as well. So it's certainly compliant on that side of any local legislation that is required around the data protection side of things.
So Mark, who are Code's biggest customers, and where have you deployed this in the world?
So at the moment, we operate through offices in the UK, Romania, in the Nordics, in Denmark, and also South Africa, shortly to open up in the US. We really operate a partner model with regards to, I suppose, vertical markets or even size of customers. It really is across the board. So some of the I'd say it ranges from 100 Skype for Business users up to tens of thousands, and certainly with some of our hosted partners that are using multi-tenancies, they've got thousands of customers on their platforms as well, supported. And as you can see from this slide, it's public sector, it's private sector, it's literally anyone who wants visibility or to utilize Skype for Business as efficiently as possible, and realize that, the return on investment, all of that side of things, then it's really an applicable solution for them.
Yeah, I see that you're popular in the motor world, looking at that slide.
Yeah, we've got BMW, Toyota, Nissan. Nissan are using the voice recording as well, so
Ah, that's interesting.
they're using both of the well, the collaborated solution.
Cool. And how do people get in touch with you if they want more information from about your product and
So
next
we've
steps?
certainly got a lot of information on the website. Their web address can be seen here, codesoftware.net, or ping us an email at info@codesoftware.net, and we can certainly get back to you. We certainly offer free demos and trials of the solution as well. So I suppose if people like what they see and they do want to try it firsthand, then get in touch and we can make arrangements for that.
Awesome. Well, that's all we've got time for on this episode or edition. And well, thank you for spending the last hour with us, and thank you for showing your software.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for the invitation, Mark.
No problem. See you again. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.